Amen. Take your Bibles, remain standing. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 45, 46, and 47. Luke 24, 45, 46, and 47. Are you ready? Almost. Here we go. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You may be seated. We've been walking down this road of repentance. And the best way that I can give you as a descriptor of how repentance works is to picture yourself going through life. You're going through a day, and as soon as you start taking steps, you're out of breath. How many of you have been there? Betty Ford, I know you've been there. Chuck's been there. Mickey's always there. And if you can't breathe, it's hard to do what? It's hard to move. It's hard to take that next step. I was getting some stuff out of the truck the other day, and a lady new in the neighborhood decided she would go on her first walk around the neighborhood. And just down from our house is a small hill. It's about like that. And I noticed she was coming up. And not wanting to stare, but staring, I watched to make sure she was going to make it. And she came around the corner and walked by the driveway. I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "That's a hill." I said, "I think you're right." I said, first time Celeste and I walked it, I thought, oh my goodness. You know, when you can't breathe, you literally have a hard time moving, right? Without repentance, it's the same for us as Christians being without air. Without repentance, we can't move. In fact, the passage that we read literally says that repentance was brought in and it was to be proclaimed to all the nations in the name of Jesus. The reality is repentance is the message of those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I know that's not popular, and I understand that because Satan sold us a lie. You know, he's good at that, is he not? And what he's done is he said, you know, you can repent, or you can say, okay, I don't want to sin, and be fine. But the reality is, without repentance, you and I are living without spiritual oxygen that helps us to go in the direction God created us for, and it causes us to get bogged down. So I want to give you some principles of repentance as we're looking at the pathway to revival. I left off last week by saying, just before the invitation, the first point for today. And that is, repentance is a gift from God. We don't look at it that way. We look at repentance as something that we religiously do. But repentance is a gift from God. Why? Because without that gift, you and I are in bondage. You and I are tied up to our sin. But because Jesus went to the cross, remember the passage we just read, that Christ would suffer and rise again. What do you mean? He paid the price for what? Okay, that was weak. I know it's rainy and droopy and you wanted to sleep in. You got to do better than that, right? Jesus paid the price for what? Our sin. That is a gift. The only way that we can get that is through repentance. Being a Christian is not you and I saying, hey, you know what? I want to be a Christian. I mean, I want to be, if you ever wondered what, you know, when you're a little child, you always, when I grow up, I want to be. Y'all remember doing that? How many of you became what you wanted to be? Okay, a few of you did. When I grew up, the first thing I wanted to be was Roger Staubach. Why? I mean, Roger Staubach, class act, Navy guy, had an arm, determination, number 12. In fact, you'll notice in my sports pictures, number 12 is what I wore. Because as a little boy, I wanted to be Roger Staubach. Then the older I got, I wanted to be Joe Friday. I did. I'd put on my sport coat, stick my little play gun in the seam of my pants, and just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Mom would call me to the kitchen. I'd walk in, just facts, Mom. She'd look at me. You are your daddy's son. We had those things, right? And then God shows us what it is He has for us to do. Here's the key. We can never get to that which God has unless we repent. Because I can't make myself Roger Staubach. True. I couldn't make myself Joe Friday. I couldn't make myself anything. But only through repentance, getting cleaned up, can I find that path that God has. Repentance is a gift. In fact, in verse 17, Peter, for the first time, calls it a gift. In Acts chapter 11, he says, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Peter described it as a gift. When you and I think about repentance, and we ought to think about repentance all the time. It shouldn't just be on Sunday or when you get, you know, a big, big sin, which there are no such things. We ought to be thinking about repentance, that it's a gift. That God gave me a way to be in fellowship with Him. Now, what happens? If we're in broken fellowship, if there's no communication, if there are obstacles to that communication, then we're missing out on the very power of God, the presence of God, and the reality that He lives inside of us. Repentance makes all that possible. It's a gift. Number two, repentance is more than a single act. Listen to me. Now this is for church people. Listen to me. If the only time you repented is when you accepted Jesus Christ, you are in a spiritual mess. In fact, the reality is, for the most part in America, that's the way it works. We hear the truth of the gospel that God sent Jesus to die for us. And the Spirit of God moves in our hearts and we realize, hey, I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. And so we repent. Now, notice what I said. Getting Jesus is not about wanting to go to heaven. Make sure you know that. Getting Jesus is not about wanting to live a good life. Getting Jesus is not about you getting out of your trouble. It's more than that. You and I getting Jesus is about you and I having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about you and I being free from the power and the bondage of sin. And for the most part, people today sort of look at it like, well, I did that once. And then boom, they go off. And there's nothing else. And oh, they'll sin, and God will speak to them. Oh, I don't want to do that. There will be remorse, but there won't be repentance. Repentance is more than a single act. Repentance is a way of life. It's the reality that when I sin, that sin breaks the heart of God. And in breaking the heart of God, it shows me the death that is all around, and the fact that sin will weigh me down, and that sin will literally suck the life out of me. Being remorseful isn't repentance. Yeah, I sinned, and I shouldn't have done that. My bad. That's not repentance. Think about it. Have you ever approached your sin that way? Oh, yeah, God, sorry. That one's on me. Hello, they're all on us, right? Or well, I didn't mean to. You know, you understand. That's the problem. He does understand. He gets it. Repentance is more than that single act. It is every day living in the awesome reality that you and I need to be forgiven. We never experience forgiveness without repentance. You want to be forgiven? You want to feel that forgiveness? You want to walk in the power of that forgiveness? There must be repentance. Now, how does that work? You say, okay, that's a great, great point, but let's make this one practical. How does this work? You can't approach repentance as a flyby prayer. Now, have you ever done that? You know what a flyby prayer is? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One eats the fastest, gets the most. That's a flyby blessing, right? Or you're driving down the road and something happens and you thank God that wasn't me. That's a flyby. Repentance is not a flyby. Repentance is not something you say, oh yeah, that is a sin. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God, I just help me. I won't do that again. That's not repentance. Repentance is understanding that we need forgiveness, and that forgiveness can only come through that act of repentance, that daily we need to walk in repentance so that I'm in a spirit of repentance. Why? Because as a Christian, I'm supposed to hate sin. Right? As a Christian, I'm supposed to be pushing away from sin, right? But we're not. We embrace it. We excuse it. We compromise with it. We allow it. And we try to reclassify it. Oh, that's my personality. Well, you know, that's just, no. If it's displeasing to God, it's sin. And if it's displeasing to God, therefore it's sin, it needs repentance. Because as a Christian, we're supposed to be moving away from, not embracing sin. Look at your life, not anybody else's. Look at your life. Where do you need forgiveness? Where do you need to embrace repentance? You say, now, preacher, we've been on this subject 3 weeks. How much longer are we going to be on it until we get it covered? You know why? We're dying from a lack of repentance. Christianity in America is not being destroyed by the media, nor the politicians, nor by the secularists. It's being destroyed by Christians who no longer repent and instead embrace sin. It's more than a single act. Repentance should be our way of life. It's going to get worse. Number three, repentance is turning from what you are. Uh-oh. Well, I wasn't Roger Staubach, right? I wasn't Joe Friday, right? Right? I never wanted to be Mr. Universe, but I never could be Mr. Universe. Right? Remember what David said a couple weeks ago? Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in what? Iniquity. And in sin, my mother conceived me. We are all born sinners. That's who we are. That is the nature that we have. Now, when we accept Christ, the old nature is to be put away, killed, destroyed. And we're to take on the new man. But the problem is, like Paul said, that flesh keeps coming back, doesn't it? It's like a good meal that you're still tasting 3 days later. Keeps coming back. And you're trying to get rid of it. Some of you will get that this afternoon at lunch. And you want it gone, but it keeps coming back. And so you do what you shouldn't do, and you don't do what you should do. Repentance, because it's not remorse, repentance is turning from that old sinful flesh. It is literally turning from what you are so that you can become who Jesus saved you to be. That's the difference. Now, in churches these days, you don't hear a lot about that. You get the good self-help. And let's give you 5 points to a prosperous life. Or how about 7 points, because seven is... Let's give you 7 points to financial freedom. How about we just get right with God and become what God created us to be? Oh, but wait a minute, that requires something. Repentance. That requires repentance. So the other day, going through the day, everything was good. All of a sudden, I thought that the flu had invaded me. How many of you have had the flu? Okay. When it hits, does it not? And I called Celeste and I said, I think I got the flu. And she said, move out. No, she didn't. And I said, I don't know. I texted Johnny. Did you not have chills but think you were about to have chills? Because I wanted to know, was this it or not? And then I got sick. I mean, within minutes, I got sick. It was just quick. I called Celeste. I said, I'm going to stop by. And she said, after you called me, I got sick. And I said, uh-oh, mutual sickness. In sickness and in... I'm going to stop by and get some Gatorade if I can make it. Because we didn't want to be dehydrated. And so I went in the house, put the Gatorade up, got me one glass of Gatorade, drank it, drank half a bottle of NyQuil. I'm serious. Where's Lauren? I'm serious, aren't I? And David told me I could because they lowered the alcohol content. Said it was safe. He said I had to actually double my dosage to get what I used to get. But anyway, drank that half a bottle of NyQuil, and I got in bed. And I was out. I got up around midnight and made it to the door of the bedroom and checked to make sure that she was alive. Now, I didn't go check her pulse. I didn't listen for her breathing. I asked. She responded, and I said, good. And I went back to bed. Somewhere in the next few hours, I'm told that she came in to tell me she needed to go to the emergency room because she was really, really sick. I don't remember it. I don't think you went, did you? No. I wouldn't have been any good. And somehow there was this text messaging going back with Lauren about, well, Lauren was going to take both of us. No. Anyway, and I remember waking up thinking, am I okay? And then she starts telling me about what happened during the night. And I'm like, maybe I wasn't okay. But the thought of going to the emergency room, when she said, I said, well, did you really need to go to the emergency room? Did I need to go to the emergency room? She said, baby, you were out. You were out. I don't want to go to the emergency room. Why? All the above. I don't mind going and visiting you there. That's cool. But I don't want you visiting me there. That's not cool. And I thought, you know, I guess I just, whatever it was, I think we had picked up a bug somewhere. But it went away, and Wednesday I was good. But you know what was scary? Was when you get down with no sustenance, when you get down and you're so weak you can't do and you just crack, you know what that feeling's like, don't you? That's the way it is when we're walking around without repentance. We're lifeless. We think that flesh is so strong, but really that flesh is killing us. And we don't want to do what the Bible says to do because we think it's going to hurt. But listen, that short little bit of pain, or what we would call embarrassment, the Bible says is a gift from God to change us from what we are to what He saved us to be. That's repentance. Number four. Repentance is what you do for God. Think about that. Repentance is what you do for God. I don't know how many times I've heard in 30 years of ministry, well, Pastor, don't you think God would like it if we did this? It's a common phrase. And that phrase has always stuck in me and really made me think deep about knowing the will of God. Because you and I don't have to dream up things and hope God likes it. He's told us what He likes. He's told us what we're to do. And repentance is that gift that puts us on that path. And it's not, see, we put the cart before the horse. We get out in front and say, well, I'm gonna do this for God. Everything's gonna be great. And what God's really wanting us is for us to repent first. Because when He cleans us up, then He's able to use us. You know, watching the Olympics, how many of you are watching the Olympics? All right, I'm going to admit, first Sunday of the Olympics, I'm going to admit, my favorite sport is curling. I love it. I don't know why Celeste was going to shoot me last night, but I loved it. I DVR'd it. I loved it. It's just strategy. It's just finesse. I just love it. But, you know, they have to practice. They can't just go out and do that. You and I as Christians, most Christians just, okay, well, I got saved, so I'm going to go be godly. Have you tried that? It doesn't work, does it? You know, okay, I got all the power of God living inside of me. I'm good. Boom, problem hits. What happened? Uh-oh. Repentance is what we do for God. We start with repentance and we move forward and we keep repenting so we can keep moving forward. That's why we need to reevaluate when we think, okay, what does God want me to do? God wants me to repent. Watch this. God gives to us through suffering. Remember that verse? Thus it is written that Christ would suffer. He gives to us through suffering so that we then give back in love and devotion. Now, what are we giving back? We give back beginning with repentance. Not one time, but a lifetime of, a lifestyle of. It's leaving the flesh and living in the spirit. Number five. Here's why this is important. Because repentance deals with the very roots of sin. Why was there so much suffering on the cross? It wasn't the amount of sin. It was the root of sin. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to be placed in a tomb? And we're going to be celebrating the third day here pretty quick. But think about it. Why was there so much suffering? Why is the agony of the cross something that just really grips us? Because it's dealing with the very root of sin. What does that mean? It's more than slowing down. It's more than backing off. It's literally releasing us from the hold of sin. And you and I can't do that apart from repentance. Have you ever caught yourself sinning? Have you ever caught yourself sinning? How many of you have? The rest of you need to be more aware. When you catch yourself sinning, it's like, uh-oh. And you go, whoa, how did I do that? And then you say things like, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to repeat that. I didn't want to go back to that. I knew better. God said don't. Without repentance, you'll never get the root of that sin out. And if the root's still in, guess what it does? It grows. And it grows. And it grows. And she's going to kill me for this. We were trying to get some weeds killed, and I discovered a great gift that Celeste has. She has a gift for spreading fertilizer. She can take a yard and turn it green. I always leave. You know, have you ever done that? And you leave, you can tell where you missed. She gets it. I mean, it's covered and it's green. And what I've noticed is the weeds die. Why? Because the roots get eaten up. The roots get destroyed. I can remember cleaning out the flower beds. I think it was Dad's sick humor. How many of you had to cut your own switches growing up? Dad would hand me a pocket knife, go get a switch. Go out to the bush, cut, you know. And I'd cut the most flimsy thing until I realized aerodynamics, that provides the whipping. And then I went and got the big thick ones. Anyway. I'd go clean out, he'd say, clean out the flower beds. And I'd pull and pull and pull. You know, after a point, all kids do this. You just sort of take the tops off and go on. Well, what did that mean? I had to go back. Is that not the picture of most Christian lives? We'll make it look good, but we don't get to the root of it. And so it just keeps coming back. And then we've adopted all these sayings. Oh, well, I'm two steps forward and one steps back. That's not biblical. Hello? There's nothing worse than two steps forward and one step back than giving a child to the count of three to keep sinning until you're going to punish them. Hello? Delayed obedience is still disobedience. You and I, in our sin, have to deal with the very root. We've got to get down to the core and pull the root out. Repentance does that. Repentance says, I just don't want to look good. I want to be clean. That's why David prayed when we went through Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop. Number six, repentance is not secret. Uh-oh. But it's open. Why did Jesus go to a visible public cross? You ever thought about that? Why was he just beaten brutally in public? Why was everything about the cross in public? Listen to me. Because repentance is supposed to be public. You know why? It helps hold us accountable. What we've done is we personalized everything and we said, oh, well, that's private. So I'm going to have my private time of repentance. And so we do whatever we do for our private time and nobody knows. But the problem is they still know the sin. And they don't know that it's been repented of. When you and I allow sin, compromise with sin, and don't demand repentance, then everything is visual. And then when we say, okay, well, I'll repent. But that repentance isn't visual. Guess what's still visual? The sin. It's open so that there is a picture just like in baptism, buried with him and raised to walk. And that's visual because it's a visual testimony of what God says every one of us should be doing. We've taken the things of God and we've adjusted them to fit our preferences. And by doing so, we've robbed the public of the picture that God intended to be seen. Get the video or tape and listen to that phrase again and think about it. Because we've made religion about us. And yet, the verse that we read says that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. It's supposed to be public. What are you doing in secret? Do it in public. We sin in public, right? You say, well, there's some private sins. You deal with those private sins privately, but you deal with your public sins publicly. Number 7. Repentance is both, boy, it got quiet on that one, didn't it? Repentance is both negative and positive. When I wrote that phrase, I don't know why I kept thinking AC/DC. Alternating current, direct current. Have y'all ever looked at the history of electricity? When they first began to come up with AC and DC, there was a fight over it. And one bag of money people wanted it to go one way, and another bag of money people wanted it to go another way, and eventually it was all adopted and the world became electrified, and that's why we have lights. It's an incredible study. It's both a negative and a positive. Electricity is a good, but it can be a negative if you touch it the wrong way, right? You twitch a little bit. Repentance is the same way. Watch what was said to the king in Daniel 4. I'm going to read this to you. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. Daniel said to the king, here's what you got to do. You got to break away now from your sins. You got to repent. That pain is going to lead you to doing righteousness. And you're breaking away from your iniquities, and you're going to turn that into showing mercy to the poor in case there may be a long prolonging of your prosperity. It's the negative that he takes and turns into a positive. And it won't work unless the AC and the DC are there. Did you catch that? Unless there's the negative, you can't get to the positive. Unless you deal with the ugly, you can't clean up and become positive. You'll never be righteous living in your sin, but once you deal with your sin, then you can. God will show you the path of that which is righteous, because it'll be his righteousness from the gift that he gave called repentance. I want you to stand, heads bowed. Nobody looking around. Don't rob yourself of what God wants to do in your life right now. Repentance. Repentance. I would much rather preach on prayer than repentance. Because I get more responses when I preach on prayer or love or joy or faith. But it gets real quiet when I preach on repentance. The reason that happens is because Satan sold us a lie. Satan has wrapped us up and we're in bondage. And because of that, we don't want to hear about repentance. There's a whole generation walking around, and it's made up of multiple age groups, that wants to be told how awesome we are, how great we are, how good God is, and nobody wants to hear that we need to repent. And yet, repentance is a gift from God that gives us the oxygen spiritually that we need to live the Christian life. Some of you are standing there and you know exactly what you need to repent of today. Don't let this service close before you get down this altar and say, God, I'm here to repent. If you can't kneel, you can sit here on the altar and say, God, I'm here to get cleaned up. God, create in me a daily spirit that drives me to repentance every day. Don't let a day come and go without you spending that time. And it's not just being remorseful. Remember, it's saying, God, I hate that sin because you hate it. It's what puts you on that cross. And God, I want to live in freedom. Some of you have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because you've never, ever repented. I want you to come just a few moments when we start singing. John and I'll be here. Say, hey, I need Jesus. Some need to make this your church home. Others, you know, as I just said, you know what God's calling you to do. You know what needs to get cleaned up. The attitudes, the words, the thoughts, the behaviors, the desires, the dreams, the goals, all of it. If it's out of whack with God, the gift of repentance is there. And folks, listen, it's through repentance that we get the power of God. Father,